Even looking at our time together on Sunday morning, that we need children. We need children here to teach us what it's like to be a child of God and to be in His kingdom. And as we get older, we need to become more like them. And so we need children here. I believe God is bit by bit blessing that effort that's being put, especially on our Sunday morning, to be able to focus, make some changes, clean some things up, look into the future, and I believe because of the power of prayer, we'll have more and more. Then we looked at us being good stewards, praying that we as a church family would practice stewardship, that we would look into the Word to find out what God desires so that we can spend the blessing that He gives us and that we give for His mission to get done. And what we've got to do is be praying that we are using his money, and if you catch that, it's His, to bring glory to His name, to do His will together, and to bring other people to Jesus Christ. And then last week we started because we want to pray about leaders. And actually a couple weeks ago looked at certain men who were servant leaders, and then we looked at men and women being certain servant leaders that God used in order to accomplish His will. Something that God wants to get done, He searches for hearts. When He finds the hearts, He gets it done. And I pray that He can find the hearts here. Now, as we are kind of going to start steering the servant leader into a specific, what I would call, task role, I deliberately, it's only because it's me, I deliberately stay away from the word position. I will try to describe a task and a role that certain men are to have in the relationship with called out people who hear the call of God to leave sin and darkness to walk in the light as Christ is the light. And the guidance and care that these sheep need. My question is to the Hickory Church of Christ is, do you want me to teach these roles or tasks the way the Bible teaches them or the way the church has done them? Okay, all right, good. Got your permission, right? That's to cover my tracks, because sometimes what we're going to find out is what the church has done with certain roles don't match up with what we find in Scripture. And we're going to have to admit it. And we'll make some changes accordingly. This morning, I just want to start with looking at a heart of a person who desires to take on a task or a role to guide sheep. I have three books I'm going to be using as my sources. The fourth one is the most important one. The fourth one is the Bible. But there is a brother in our heritage that wrote a book called They Smell Like Sheep. And he has volume one and volume two. Actually, today's outline on the back of your family news comes from volume two. And we'll try to fill in as many of those blanks this morning as time permits. One other resource is by Alexander Strock. He just titled it Biblical Eldership. And so I'm going to be looking at those and digging into those and have been for quite some time, but trying to sharpen some rust that might have happened on them. But one of the things that we need to realize, and I know there's questions about, okay, is there a date set about trying to either nominate and to appoint? I've found out every time that I try to schedule my schedule to fit my desire, God has a different schedule. And I believe we need to go by God's schedule. And he will lead us and let us know when time is right. He will lead us and tell us when men are ready. He will lead us and he will tell them and call them to a very noble task. Elders or pastoral teachers, what does God want us to look for? Is it credentials? Is it someone with business savvy? Is it someone who has accomplished a lot in their life? When God desired and actually came to a point that he wished that he never had Saul in the Old Testament appointed as king, that there is a change that needed to be made in the leader. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm going to back up just a few verses, but specifically verse 7, we want to take a look at. And so Samuel's asked by God to look for the next one to lead the nation of Israel. And in verse 6, says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, well, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Now, he didn't reject him because of his appearance or his height, but that's what Samuel was looking at. Surely, with somebody with this outward stature, this is the one God would anoint. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Lynn Anderson, in the book They Smell Like Sheep, I'm going to read this illustration, kind of sets the tone. He writes about a story that he shares, something that he had went through, and he shares it in his book. Several years ago in Palestine, Carolyn and I rode a tour bus through Israel's countryside and nearly mesmerized as the tour guide explained the scenery, the history, and the lifestyle. In his description, he included a heartwarming portrayal of an ancient shepherd and sheep relationship. He expounded on how the shepherd builds a relationship with his sheep, how he feeds them, and how he gently cares for them. He pointed out that the shepherd does not drive the sheep, but leads them, and that the shepherd does not need to be harsh with them because they hear his voice and they follow, and so on. He then explained how on a previous tour, though, that this analogy, this sharing of the sheep and shepherd relationship backfired. As he was giving the same speech about the sheep and the shepherds. And in the midst of spinning his pastoral tale, he suddenly realized that he had lost his audience. I can relate to that. They were all staring out the bus window. That's why we put that kind of stuff in. They were staring out the bus window at a guy chasing a herd of sheep. He's throwing rocks at them. He's whacking them with sticks, and he's sicking the sheepdog on them. The sheep driver man in the field had torpedoed the guy's enchanting narrative. The guide told us that he had been so agitated that he jumped off the bus, ran into the field, and accosted the man. "Do you understand what you have just done to me? I was spinning a charming story about the gentle ways of shepherds, and here you are mistreating and hazing and assaulting these sheep. What is going on?" For a moment, a bewildered look froze on the face of the poor sheep chaser. Then the light dawned and he blurted out, "Man, you got me all wrong. I'm actually not a shepherd. I'm the butcher." This poor, unwitting fellow had just provided the tour guide and all of us with a perfect example of what a good shepherd is not. Lynn Anderson says that a spiritual leader is the kind of person that God-hungry people want to be like. I believe God wants us to look for a shepherd-like heart. So, leading with the heart of a shepherd. I'm actually not going to go off and try to do my own commentary on this. I want these verses just say what they say. And just listen to the power of the Word of God explaining these points about leading with the heart of a shepherd. Number one, a heart searching for God. Psalm chapter 63, 1 through 4. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life. My lips glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. A heart searching for God. Leading with the heart of a servant is a heart of integrity. Leviticus 11:44. God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Set yourself apart for me. Psalm 78, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep's pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. Leading with the heart of a shepherd, a heart of integrity. Also, a heart for people. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created mankind in his own image. Brief commentary. A shepherd leads a contaminated image of God back to a cleansed image of God. Ezekiel 34. Actually, we're going to deal with this later. Majority of Ezekiel 34, oh boy, God is putting the hammer down on the shepherds that are not doing what they should be doing. And actually, you find out what shepherds should be doing by what God tells them they're not. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Leading with the heart of a shepherd is a heart for people. And leading with the heart of a shepherd is a heart for the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Shepherd's heart is able to teach. And in 2 Timothy, Paul tells him, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to a reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Teach others to learn to teach others. A heart of a shepherd is a heart for the word of God. A heart of a shepherd is a heart of a servant. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. A heart of a shepherd is a heart of a servant. A heart of a shepherd is a heart of encouragement. Acts chapter 11. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all. Now get this. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. The heart of a shepherd is a heart of encouragement. One that encourages believers to stay true to the Lord with all their heart. A heart of a shepherd is a heart that is willing. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. When the chief shepherd appears, who leads the leaders? Where do leaders lead the flock? Leads the leaders, and the leaders lead the flock to Christ. We've got to find out what that truly means, because it is about imitating the life. I think you're going to find out, Lord's willing, in weeks to come, that the task has not always been what we made it to be like God. Have we made the task, or are we willing to do the task? Jesus is the good shepherd. He wants more sheep. There might be some people here that still consider them, well, I'm a sheep, I'm just not in his pen. I want to be led by the good shepherd. And I need other spiritual people in this body to help lead me to the chief shepherd.
of the contamination that sin has done to his image. And if you're ready to step into that pen, die to yourself, bury your sin, and be resurrected out of baptism, and then follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. If you've been in the pen, but you're kind of off in a little corner by yourself, not wanting to deal with other sheep and not wanting to listen to the leader, recommit to that. And Jesus is ready for you. It's his love that lifts us all, right? It's hard for me to love you like Jesus loved, but I'm called to do that. I need help in practicing that. It's his love that lifts us up. While we sing this song, if you need to respond in any way, let it be known.